Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Guarded again! Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line! Yes!
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And welcome into the Jump Around, a Badger dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. I am Jim Rutledge alongside Pablo Iglesias. And Pablo, you are decked out in red today
for the
Wisconsin Badgers. I am wearing my Iron Jock. It's Iron Jock with a C. Ironjock.com is the website. You can see that I have a quarter zip on. And I actually have the logo for Jim, Matt, and Molly on my shirt as well. You can do something similar with ironjock.com, or you can just get some regular Iron Jock branded gear. But you also can make your own team gear, whether that's for your work team or for your school team, with ironjock.com. That's Iron Jock with a C. So, the Badgers, they played Michigan. And
how was your camping trip, too? Did you get to enjoy the camping trip while you were... what was it? You were listening to the game, too.
I was listening to the game. And after the first drive, there was really no reason to check back in on that game there. But, no, I was listening, and then when the Cubs were getting blown out, I checked back in and saw the weird, weird ending to that game. We'll get to a little bit later, Pablo. But I don't want to spend a lot of time about Michigan, but I will say this. I'm not here for moral victories. I'm not here for a pat on the back. The players can feel good about themselves. The coaches can convince themselves that they're moving in the right direction. That's all fine and dandy. But we are the Wisconsin Badgers. We used to be a dominant football program. Now we're a program where the fan base went in and felt like we had no chance. And what your rallying cry is, at least we covered. And it looked like our coach was playing to cover. Not for betting reasons, but it almost felt like for optic reasons. Like, let's just bleed this clock out and not get our asses kicked. And that's not how I want my team to be coached. And that's not how I want my team to play. So it was a hell of a first drive, and the rest of the game was as disappointing as I was expecting it to be, and I'm hoping something better comes up against Iowa.
You really hoped that something was going to break through. So it was Riley, Corey Sparks, part of the Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show. We were all here watching the game in the studio. We were excited. We were jumping for joy when we saw that opening drive. Let's be real. I mean, it's how could you not be in that situation? And you were just really hoping that not every drive had to look like that, but you were at least hoping that that could give you some type of momentum. You're hoping that, okay, well, Michigan goes down and then they score and then they tie the game. But even holding them to a field goal, you felt some type of confidence, but also it just nothing really rose from there after that. The touchdown on the opening drive was the highlight. It's a good thing, and I'm with you on that one. It's moral victories, you know what, it's good, but also how is it really going to help this team in terms of the building blocks? How's it going to help them brick by brick gain that confidence? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, I think for me, you got to come out with that win. If that's how you're going to start out the game and you're going to throw a punch in the mouth, I mean, why not try to finish the job? What makes you take a step back? Instead of trying to win the game, it's like, don't try to lose. And that's always what this mentality, I feel like, over the last few years, that's what it's been like in these big games.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway, and I said this on the Wisconsin College Game Day postgame show, is that Wisconsin just doesn't have a playmaker right now. Like, you come out, you punch them in the mouth on that first drive, run it down their throat, it's awesome. Then Michigan's like, oh, shoot, they're not just going to roll over, they came to play. So then they stiffen up, and their talent starts to take over. So then it seemed like the Badgers just kept trying to run it to, like, 2-3 yards in a cloud of dust, which clearly didn't work. But they needed someone to break open the game, whether that be on offense or defense. Ricardo Hallman, I mean, he had the terrible PI call. He got his hand on an interception or on a ball that could have been picked off, would have been a tough play. But there's a play. They punched out three fumbles, didn't recover a single one. Vinny Anthony, again, showed glimpses, like we know what he can do. But he's not getting the football. Tretch barely got the football. Dylan Jones had a run at 16 yards in the first drive. Like, no one is making a game-changing play, which you need to do to beat a better team.
Riley,
and it's just frustrating.
You said something that also, just talking to you guys about this too, is the fact that Michigan potentially goes in, it's like, oh, okay, we're just going to run all over this team. We're going to stomp on them. But then all of a sudden, an opening drive wakes them up. Like, the fact that Wisconsin is this team where it's like, unless they do something that impresses you right off the bat, or they do something that's electric, and it's like, oh, blank. Like, they came here to play. They came here to show us. Like, that just leaves a sour taste for me, because if that's how you're coming into expecting who Wisconsin is, and you're not expecting until they show you something, like, that just seems like a big red flag.
I don't disagree. Now we're going to move into half full, half empty. We'll both give a half full look at the Iowa game, a half empty look at the Iowa game. So, and Riley can hop in as well. Riley Yauch behind the glass here in the Everlight Solar Studio.
Yes!
And the half full for the Badgers beating Iowa is, one, Iowa doesn't know who they'll start at QB this week. It could be Mark Gronowski. It could be Hank Brown, which sounds like a made-up person. Or Jeremy Heklinski as well. They're all options. Brown has, in three games, he's 11 for 21 with 107 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Heklinski, Wake Forest transfer, didn't play or hasn't seen the field yet for Iowa this year. So, not covering themselves with glory, but again, the Badgers. Like, I'm saying half full right now. They have four touchdown passes on the season, so the Badgers' terrible pass defense matters less against a terrible passing offense. But they only lost to number 22 Iowa State and number 7 Indiana. So, I think Iowa is a better team, but I'll say this, my half full. The Badgers can win this game if they bring the energy that they brought for the first drive against Michigan for the entire game against Iowa. As far as the half empty, the Badgers are going with Hunter Simmons as quarterback. He's a transfer from Southern Illinois. He was okay. He didn't embarrass himself against Michigan, but let's not lie to ourselves. He is plan C, and really the plan they never wanted to get to. And if Luke Fickell didn't rush Billy Edwards out against Maryland, Billy Edwards is probably playing against Michigan and probably definitely against Iowa. But instead, here we are. So even if I'm not trying to rip Hunter Simmons, but it's definitely a desperation move because you did not want to be at your third quarterback. And you do not want to be in a situation, but it's a home game. They ran the ball a lot, I wouldn't say effectively, against Michigan. And I don't think anyone, well, I shouldn't say anyone. I don't think Iowa can run the ball like Michigan did. So I think the Badgers have a puncher's chance, but my half empty it is, Iowa is still just a better version of what Wisconsin's trying to do. And they will slowly bludgeon them, and it very well could be a 16-13 type victory for Iowa. So that's my half empty.
We could say whatever we want about Iowa. We could say, because it's a trophy game. It's a rivalry game. It's always been one that's been a slugfest outside of last season's just utter debacle. I don't even know a true word to define what last year's was. That was just embarrassing.
Gross.
The fact that you look into this game where it's rarely high scoring and Iowa comes in and puts up a 40 piece on national television in just an insane rushing attack. But it's my half empty, I think, is just, yeah, you can't allow that to happen. You can't make this game bigger than it was. I felt like that was almost a situation, I get it too. If we separate the Alabama and the Maryland game, Alabama at the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa, it's a very intimidating situation. But Maryland, it almost felt like that we were making this, or Wisconsin was making this, bigger than what the game was or what it was supposed to be. Just go in there, go do your job. And that's the side of it, though, too, is that you really have to be on your A game here, though, too, against Iowa, because they only dropped games to Iowa State and Indiana, or those two were top 25 losses, and they were within a single possession.
Mm-hmm.
That is a scary thing right now. And if we're looking at the numbers right now, it's again, historically, this Iowa game has always been a slugfest. The half-full side of it, though, I liked but didn't love the combination of, we'll see who's going to be starting at center for Wisconsin. I mean, I actually thought that there were not a lot of errant snaps, which, again, is a different thing. The fact that we are using that as the bar is not great. It's not great that we are using that as setting our bar for expectations. But Hunter Simmons and the center combination, looked pretty smooth. It's not like they took a lot of home or took a lot of deep balls, but right now, don't get cute. Just do what works for you right now. Work with what you got in front of you, and I think that's the half full side of it. Is that half full looking at Hunter Simmons and the offensive line to keep doing what they were doing, keep run blocking, and then half empty. Don't make this bigger than it is, and don't let Iowa just run all over you.
It's funny, Pablo. You say your half empty is don't make it bigger than it is. My half full is Wisconsin got embarrassed on national TV last year, and they've been preparing specifically for this game for the entire offseason up
until
this
point. Is
that
what's wrong? This is the only game they cared about this year?
Maybe. We could
find out.
That's
where it all went downhill.
That was maybe the issue. And if Wisconsin comes out like 35-10s them, like smokes them, I'm more okay with that. But they had their Iowa 42 in the offseason. Like they do 42 extra push-ups, 42 extra reps on a set, like 42 extra stairs. Because they got embarrassed so badly. That's why they went out and got a bigger defensive line, beefed up. And this has been such a focus for this team. You know they're going to come out firing. You know they're going to want to win this game. So I think that should give Wisconsin an advantage. They want this game badly. And also, Iowa seems like just a worse version of Michigan, so it seems doable. My half empty is that even if I was a worse version of Michigan, they still know who they are. And Wisconsin maybe had a glimpse of it last week in that first drive. But as of now, Wisconsin still doesn't know who they are. So if I was able to take it to them early, I don't see this team mustering anything to come back. We haven't shown any resilience to adversity yet. So I think if Iowa jumps out to even a 14-point lead, that might be all she wrote.
Yeah. Man, if all I heard
that
there...
That says it all right there.
All I heard there was if they lose to Iowa, the whole season is 100% cooked. Because if they built the whole year 42 to this, and especially if they get smoked, it's done. Just close up the tent and call it a year. If this was curling, as Matt Hamilton would like to say, you'd just be like, you know what? That's the season. Like, we're gonna sim to the end and start over. Start our recruiting. And just fire everyone. All right, let's get started.
Yikes.
I'm sad.
I'm trying not to be nihilistic, but speaking of sad, let me get this number completely right here, because it is pathetic, and I want to make sure I have this number correct, because I don't want to misrepresent the pathetic nature of this game. There have been, this is from Ben Scott Stevens on Twitter, there have been 414 FBS games with betting odds so far in 2025. Only two have had a total of 40 points or fewer for the over-under. None lower than a over-under of 37.5. According to ESPN Bet, Pablo, what is the over-under for the Badger game?
The over-under, 35.5, I believe, as of late.
That is gross.
Yep. Over-under right now, 35.5.
And I'm sorry, Riley, how many points did Iowa put on the Badgers last time they played?
42 by themselves.
The matchup predictor, 62.6% chance Iowa wins.
Man, this is going to be a gross football game. Maybe that works in the Badgers' favor. But Dylan Jones is what, like 240 yards rushing at like 4.1 yards per carry?
This is a tough...
4 yards per carry is bad in the NFL, let alone... Or not bad, but it's mid in the NFL. It's bad in college football. Like college football, you should be pushing like 5. I think we talked about this before. For his career, I think Melvin Gordon was over like 6 or something. Like this is college football. You should be at like... There were games where the Badger running backs were averaging 10 to 11 yards per carry.
Yeah, this was tough because what was it? We said 1,000 yards. We were setting the 1,000 yard
marker. They have 1,000 yards passing right now. That's the exact number they're on. 1,000 yards passing. How many games have we played?
I believe the Badgers are 2-3.
So that's
five games. So that's 200 yards a game.
And I believe they needed 200 yards a game to get to the rushing number we were looking for.
Yeah.
They might not get the passing number to what the rushing number we were looking for this year.
Oof.
Yeah.
If you take out the running backs, I don't know if the Badgers are going to get to... I'm sorry. If you take out the wide receivers and quarterbacks, I don't know if the Badger running backs are going to get to 1,000 total yards at this pace.
Wisconsin is, as of right now, too, in total offense, 124th out of 134.
Sweet. That's awesome. That'll be... And you wonder...
You're not last!
And
woo!
Nobody is wondering why the Badgers and Iowa... have an over-under historically low.
Yeah, I'd hammer this under, too, because the last Iowa has the top four lowest over-unders in college football history. Those would be – oh, I hit the wrong button here. There we go. That would be 24.5, 27.5, and 30.5 twice, all from that horrendous 2023 team that the Badgers lost to. and 24.5, it was against Rutgers. The final score of that game was 13-10. So it still hit the under.
God.
So do not be surprised if this game is well below the expected total.
Can I give you something to be optimistic about?
Yes.
All right, so it's a 6 o'clock kickoff, right?
Yep.
This game's going to be done quick. I feel like there's not going to be a lot of balls in the air. It's going to be a lot of handoffs. Both these teams are just kind of bleeding this out. And
the Barry way. we'll be having cocktails at 3:30.
It'll feel like a baseball game.
Get done in 2 hours, and we'll be cooking. It'll be great.
The commercials will be longer than actual game time.
It's possible.
Yeah, I believe I said the stat last week, too, according to Pro Football Focus, is that Iowa's offensive line, I think, is graded as the best in the nation, too. So that's gonna be fun. That's gonna be an interesting test for this team. But yeah, this is gonna be an ugly one. 35.5, man. I'd hammer the under on this because last year just felt like an outlier. Like the fact that Iowa was able to put up a 40 piece on that one, it is what it is. But just watching how
this like three games for them.
Yeah,
that's like three games of touchdowns.
Was it 15-6 2 years ago? Because that was Tanner Mordecai's game when he went out. And
Taylor game.
Yeah, literally, it was one big run by Caleb Johnson, and the punter beat us.
The biggest thing, yeah, it was the punter. It was the punters that really shine.
He got himself drafted in the fourth round off that one game.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure Brad will have a lot to talk about too later. So
absolutely, Brad Norman is joining the show a little bit later. All right, now we move on to an empty trophy case. And I guess it wasn't empty the whole time for Luke Fickell, but it's been empty for a while. Luke Fickell is 0-8 against top 25 teams, 2-4 in trophy games at Wisconsin. And Pablo, I'm going to start with you, and then Riley, you can hop in, and I'll finish it up on this. But what is the more damning stat, the 0-8 against top 25 teams? Point of reference, UCLA is now 1-0 against... I don't know who their coach is. I know
their new head coach.
I knew their OC is Rick Neuheisel's son, who looks exactly like Rick Neuheisel, except, 22 years old or whatever. He looks like a child, but UCLA's offense cooked against Penn State. UCLA won that game. So UCLA's interim coach has more victories over top 10 teams, let alone top 25 teams, than Luke Fickell does in pushing 3 years at Wisconsin. And that wasn't a trophy game, so at least he doesn't have more trophy wins than Luke Fickell.
At first, I was thinking that the more damning stat, 0-8, is like from a fan perspective, and then if you're 2-4 in trophy games, I'm thinking more player. But honestly, the more I've thought about this some more and feel like that I am all in on 2-4 in trophy games. The 0-8 record against top 25 teams is not great. It sucks. But it gives you a measurement of where you're at more so from the national standpoint. It gives you a measurement of where you're at if you're facing like these top dogs, these more than likely your college football playoff and high bowl game teams. Yes, that gives you an idea. But if you're getting stomped on or if you're not taking care of business in front of against your rivals, that's a big thing to me because these are the games that whether or not, all right, well, it is what it is. We tried to, if you're going the moral victory route, we played Michigan. We did what we could. Did I want to see more? Yes, but we did they were surprising some people at the Big House. But if you're going in this Iowa game and you're falling and then you lose to Minnesota and then you drop the Nebraska games too, that's just a huge gut punch more so because then you have really nothing to show for. You have nothing to look at. You have nothing to feel proud about, honestly, if you ask me, because it's just like at least you look forward to those games. You get excited for those games, and if you don't even finish the job there and you have more moral victories to take away from there, that feels like more of a gut punch to me.
Yeah, I'd say even more so than like the 2-4 as a whole, it's really the 0-3 in the trophy games last year because they looked so lifeless and didn't even compete against the teams that are supposed to be the ones that get you amped up the most. And I understand I defended Fickell with this last season, and I feel like I'm not going to be able to use this as an excuse this year, but it's like, oh, it's like Barry Alvarez. He was sort of an outsider when he came in, and he had to learn the importance of the rivalry games. Fickell just doesn't quite understand how important these games are yet. But the fact that he just got hammered by Iowa, then you show up against Nebraska and you lay down and die against a not great Nebraska team. Let them get to a bowl game for the first time in like a decade. And then Minnesota, like, okay, at least we'll have something positive. The Badgers could still make a bowl game. There was still opportunity. There were still accomplishments on the table. And everyone comes out and looks like they don't want to be there because it's cold, and who wants to play another football game when you can just go home? And the fact that there was so little pride, and I don't know, as me as a fan and as an alum, like, those are the games I want to win. Like, I want to be able to say, like, flex on Iowa, flex on Minnesota, less so Nebraska. But those are the games that really matter. If you don't beat Oregon, who cares? Nah, you should care. But it's not as big of a deal. So last season, trophy games, the rivalries, I think those are what should matter most. And they better come out with some life this week.
But it's also not like that he hasn't been around rivalries either. I mean, again, I get the outsider side for other coaches too.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a good excuse.
Yeah,
just...
no, I get what you're saying too. But it's like, if you feel like that you don't know what the rivalry is, it is what it is. You'll learn about it. But you know what rivalries are if you've been in this sport for long enough as a coach, as a player, all those things. He went to Ohio State. He knows what that's like. He coached at Ohio State too. And heck, I'm sure even Cincinnati. I'm not going to be an expert and tell you what the American Conference rivals were when he
Green.
Was in there. Yeah, what was all that? But you still know what rivalries are, and you still know at the core root of it what that means to you, what that means to fans. And if you're not capitalizing in those games, and if you feel like that you're not putting on, it's not even like a rah-rah speech type of thing, but more so of like, if you're not coming in with that energy, knowing exactly how much people outside of the locker room care about this game, then what is the issue then? Like, you have to understand how big of a game it is for bigger reasons outside of just, we got to get this win and that's it.
Yeah, you guys hit a lot of the nails on the head there. I'll say this, that the 0-8 against top 25 teams, it's the zero that matters there. Like, that part stings, but I did this before even when Brett was here. Like, the Badgers, when they weren't favored under Brett Bielema, were below 500. Against top 25 teams, I think they were slightly above 500. Brett didn't win all his bowl games. And that was kind of the heyday, is why I used that era. And then you have, you know, even Paul Chryst or Gary Anderson. It's tough to win the games against top 25 opponents, even if you are good. Now, the Badgers have been in some of these, and the way that you've lost some of these, the Badgers, it's kind of gross. I mean, they could have beaten, you know, USC, they were up a little bit, Penn State, Oregon. Like, they've been in some of these games, but then it just runs away from them, which stings. But it's the rivalry games. You can't run before you crawl. And I said this before, I think the era of the Luke Fickell regime right now is they were recruiting trying to beat Oregon and they forgot to beat Iowa. And I think the Badgers still have to remember they have to be better than Iowa and Minnesota and Nebraska and Northwestern and all these Indiana. Even obviously Indiana's really good, but just in general – you got to be better than those teams before you start worrying about going to the college football playoffs. Evan Cohen from Unsports, when I talked about this, Barry Alvarez was always recruiting and always talking about winning the Big Ten and going to the Rose Bowl. It's not like he didn't want to win a national championship, but let's have goals that are in front of us. Mm-hmm. And let's if I'm Luke Fickell going forward or I'm the new coach coming in, first thing we're doing is, I mean, it's the old Brett Bielema, we're going 1-0. But more importantly, we're going to win our rivalry games. Then we're going to try to win the Big Ten, and then we're going to try to go to the playoffs. Let's do one step at a time, or, you know, even smaller. Rival games, beat a ranked team, win the Big Ten, or get to the Big Ten. You know, just take these baby steps.
What makes you you ultimately? Because let's look at this Iowa team. They haven't been winning in the sexiest ways, but they are still winning the Iowa way. Or they're performing at Iowa standards, and are they at the top of the Big Ten? They're working their way up there. But you know what? They're still beating Wisconsin right now. So if anything, they're still taking care of business there. So right now, it's not like it's – I love the point of that they're trying to beat Oregon when they still need to beat the Nebraskas and the Iowas first. Iowa and Nebraska are still making strides. They're still making steps. They're not making these grand reinventing the wheel moves. And they're still winning the ways that they've won before. So why can't Wisconsin do the same?
All right, before Brad Nortman joins us, we are going to enter the Wisconsin Twitter portal.
It's time to get back into Twitter portal.
Yeah, it is time to enter the Wisconsin Twitter portal. And today, fellas, let's start with another really sad stat about the Wisconsin Badgers. And that would be their record on Big Noon kickoff games. They are tied for fourth most appearances on Big Noon kickoff with 7. And along with Nebraska, the Wisconsin Badgers are 0-7. On Big Noon kickoff. So when is the ideal time slot for Wisconsin football? Because clearly it ain't noon.
Well, that being said, I'd prefer noon. I don't want to see them at night. I mean, I just don't. I don't need to be tired and mad. Like, can I just be bummed at like 3 I think and then move on through my evening?
I threw up my arms last year when I found out the Oregon game was going to be at night. We'll see.
I mean, I don't. Yeah.
It was a good game. It ended up being a great game, but I threw up my arms and disgust. I'm like, why? Why at this point?
Yes.
So maybe like 11 a.m. on like the Big Ten Network.
Yes. I don't want Big Noon. I want the Badgers to kind of quietly do what they're doing for a few years here. Let's just kind of go, you know, like in the Batman Returns where he just disappears for a while and does his training and everything. The Badgers just disappear for a little bit, stay off the national stage, and then surprise the hell out of people, kind of Indiana style.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, look at the Badgers. Look at that.
They're back, baby.
Like that's what I'm preferring for. So you can stream it on YouTube for right now. It's really Badger football is for diehards only at this point.
The Peacock.
Yes,
the Peacock game.
Get us on the streams, whatever it takes. Yeah. All right. More just sad stats today, actually. So this was posted earlier by ML Football yesterday. Remember when all Wisconsin running backs dominated Nebraska in the 2012 Big Ten Championship game? Melvin Gordon over 200 yards. Monte Ball over 200 yards. James White over 100 yards. 4 touchdowns and a touchdown pass. Let's look into the crystal ball here. When do you think the next time will be that Wisconsin has a 100-yard rusher in a game?
God.
I don't think this season.
You don't think they get one this year? You're probably right.
Maybe just a 100-yard rusher. That's
just 100
it.
Yards.
One game. When's the next time?
The question is who, real quick?
I mean, it has to be Dylan Jones. You know what? Yeah, honestly, you might be more lucky like get Vinny on an end-around and he pulls off an 80-yarder and then picks up some other garbage yards.
I think Tretch had a 62-yarder on that touchdown.
This is gross. This is honestly an affront to my senses as a Badger fan. But I kind of agree with you. I don't know if it's happening this year. So maybe next year. Did Braylon Allen get 1,000 yards when he was here his first year with Fickell, only year with Fickell?
I don't think
he did. I think he was too hurt.
Yeah,
I don't think he did.
He might have ran for over like 800, 900. I don't think he got 1,000.
Yeah, I don't think he got all the way there. So have the Badgers had a 1,000-yard rusher under Luke Fickell?
He was the last 1,000-yard rusher in general, but I don't think it was
under
Fickell.
That was under Paul Chris, So, like,
that was the year where everybody got injured, so Braylon was the sole running back.
And how many games did we play?
In the Fickell era?
No, I'm saying in general, like per year. Like,
yeah, 12 games, 13 if you make a bowl game.
All right.
If right now, too.
Yeah, right.
We never realized how granted ifs were in all that situation.
The Badgers needed to have a running back average less than 100 yards per game to get 1,000 yards, and we haven't had that.
Yes. Yep.
984 yards.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
I didn't think that's
what Braylon had. He had a great game against Minnesota, though. That's what counted.
It's not Braylon.
Should have ran out the clock. Braylon ran out the clock in one situation.
Braylon
what
was
happened?
Fine. Like, he missed some games or missed some time. He would have had 1,000 yards, but it's more of – it's just the indicative of the Luke Fickell era.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, Brad Nortman is ready to go, so that is it for the Twitter portal.
All right. Steinhoffels is celebrating 91 years of bringing style, comfort, and quality to Wisconsin homes. A 100% employee-owned company. You'll always get honest service and no high-pressure sales. Find your perfect night's sleep with Steinhoffels. Discover your sleep system and let their decorating solutions experts help you design every room in your home. From the latest trends to trusted quality, Steinhoffels has everything you need to make your space feel like you. Celebrate 91 years of Steinhoffels. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Brad Nortman, next.
For 91 years, Steinhoffel's has been Wisconsin's local furniture and mattress leader, and we're celebrating our anniversary. During Steinhoffel's Friends and Family Sale, save 10% store-wide, or take advantage of Steinhoffel's 36-month 0% financing. Plus, take $91 off every $9.99 you spend, and get a $200 MasterCard rewards card when you use your Steinhoffel's credit card. Because after 91 years, you're more than customers, you're family.
The right time here, these last two defensive stands for Iowa.
What a great play by Tolzien to get that ball off. Sean, you're 100% right.
And Norman, it's a fake. Great call and great execution. Not a Hawkeye in sight. And Norman slid down at the 43-yard line. First down for Brett Bielema and the Badgers. 17-yard gain.
All the backs are turned. They've been doing this all game long. Iowa's been sending just two people to the punt on the outside. The middle has been open. This time they take advantage of it for a huge first down.
And that was a fantastic highlight. It made Badger fans feel good for a minute here. And we are thrilled to be joined by Brad Nortman, who I'm sure has thoughts about, you know, the game the Badgers lost a couple of years ago with Torrey Taylor from Iowa punting the heck out of it. But, Brad, first question I have for you, and thanks for joining us, is do you know how long that run was for you? We don't hear Brad here, so.
Oh, no.
Hopefully we'll get Brad on in a second. But Riley is working on that because here's my concern, Pablo, that the run from Brad Nortman might have counted for the longest run for the Badgers this year. I mean, Brad's not a running back, but Badger running backs, I think the high is 16 yards. And Riley's working on the audio there.
Can you guys hear me now?
We got him.
There it right. is. See, you know, I just got new AirPods. I don't know why my camera looks blurry. This is a standard edition GKB laptop that I'm trying to do this from. But I just got new AirPods.
Okay.
And it has been Apple makes these things very intuitive, very easy.
Yep.
That's not what we're experiencing nowadays. So how long was that run? Run was for 17 yards. 17 yards.
So that's
sad. That
I think that is the longest.
That matches the Badgers' longest run.
From a running back this year.
No kidding.
Put
my name in the record books, yeah. Boys. Put it in the record books.
So, yeah, Brad, that's that's kind of the state of Badger fandom. You're obviously an alum, a former player. You're a Badger fan. But it is – I've gone over the stages of grief, and at this point, I'm having a hard time not being nihilistic of, like, what am I watching for? Because even the best players, like, if Fickell gets let go, or even if he doesn't, they could go somewhere else. Like, so you're a guy, you played on this team. Like, what brings you to watch the Badgers every single Saturday, including this Iowa game?
Maybe I love pain. Maybe I'm trying to stay humble in life. I don't know, guys. I mean, when it comes down to it, it is love of the team, love of the university. It's a really hard time to figure out how to express your fanhood. Right. I think that's where I'm most conflicted. Right. Because I during my paternity leave, I fired off a tweet, like just kind of summed up how I felt. And maybe it was slightly hyperbolic, but it basically said what took 30 years to build has taken 3 years to destroy. Now, not that it's all Luke Fickell's fault. And maybe there was some cracks in the foundation before he showed up. And let's be honest, like what he's trying to do is just not easy. Right. But I think where I'm most conflicted now is how best to express my fanhood. Should I be the kind of fan, the alum, who I put blood, sweat, and tears into this program and love since I could walk and was able to play on the team? Is fanhood best expressed by having there just be a high degree of loyalty? Just saying, like, you know, no matter who the coach is, no matter how the team plays, I'm going to root for them. I'm going to be positive. Or do you say, you know what? I hold this program to a high standard. Right. And I'm not ready to lower my standards for what is a trough right now in the program. And I think that's where I stand right now is that I don't want to loosen my standards for this organization, for this team, because I feel like once as you do that, the pursuit of excellence starts to go away. You're almost just pursuing mediocrity at that point. And we're not even mediocre at this point. So I think I'm very conflicted and I'm 36. So this is the worst Badger team that I ever know. I've been spoiled, to use Coach Alvarez's words, to be able to enjoy great Badger football and be on four teams that were three great Badger teams, one okay Badger team. But I don't want to lower my standards because I feel bad, right? I want to continue to pursue excellence. I want to pursue championships. And I just think it's a hard time to be a Badger fan, because I feel like you're either one or two. Support them no matter what, or, you know, criticize the organization and the program because you want to hold them to that standard.
And Riley, I'd love to get your thoughts. You can hop in on this too. But the way I look at it, Brad, from my perspective, I've covered this team forever. I realized the other day that I've basically been to every Badger home game for the last 17 years. I went out to one of the Rose Bowls in Pasadena versus TCU. I've gone to Big Ten championship games. I've seen a lot of this team over the years. And I want them to be good. So my it's kind of like a parent, like if you got a kid acting up or something, like you're coming from a place of love. You want the team to be good, but you still have to have the standard of what needs to be out there. And Brad, it's not even the wins and losses. It's the way that it's like, I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed because it's not the,
that's tough.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
It is because
tough line.
It's not
that's
the
a tough line.
It is, but it's the truth. It's not even the wins and losses. It's just, they don't look cohesive. They don't look together, whether it's the actual plays or the team on the sideline. And I hate to be the old guy. It's like, that's not how it used to be, but it's not. Like, it really isn't. And I see other college football teams, and there's more buy-in. I understand NIL could adjust things, but I feel like that's 20% of, like, okay, maybe the kids, 25%, they're not as bought in as they used to be because it's a little bit more transactional. But the Badgers look barely bought in, and it all kind of goes, it's a big, bad cycle. You lose, and then you lose faith in each other and all that kind of stuff. But Riley, then Brad can hop in. Like, you're the diehard optimist, and you've even flipped a little bit.
Yeah, that is true. I think last Maryland was really a breaking point for me, Brad, and that, like most people. And then last week, yeah, I was really, again, focusing on the optimistic side of things, really being more positive after that first drive and like, hey, at least they showed up and played today against Michigan. Like, that's nice. And then I saw UCLA beating Penn State. And I drew the analogy of, like, I'm a kid at a candy store just, like, banging on the window watching all these kids getting candy. UCLA, this poverty program, is getting a win over Penn State, and I'm eating vegetables just being happy we had a tough game against Michigan. It's like, ugh, it's so annoying. It's just, yeah, very frustrating. And I'm trying so hard to look at the positives and be optimistic. It's just getting really, really difficult.
Well, Riley, there's not many positives. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It's, I mean, when you look at the, even if you were to just say, here's just like, if you go on to ESPN.com and look at the Big Ten standings, the Badgers are last. And even if you were to say, well, you know, overall record and tiebreakers, whatever, they're in the bottom tranche. There's just no other way that you could argue that. They just are. And the positives are hard to find. And to your point, Jim, it looks like a team that's going through the motions. And I don't understand it, because I applauded the Luke Fickell hire when he was hired. It seemed like it was the perfect marriage.
Yep.
And I just don't understand. There is a disconnect. There is a disconnect between whether it be like alumni and fans with the program. There is a disconnect between the culture of Wisconsin and this coaching staff. There's a disconnect between the coaching staff and the players. Something is not getting across. Something's not being absorbed. And then the result of it, when we sit down and take the exam, it's on the field on Saturdays, and we are failing the exam. So I think it's impossible to know exactly what's going on unless you are behind closed doors. And we're just not. So we can only take guesses. But there's just clearly a disconnect, and there's a lack of buy-in, and there's a lack of connection of all these pieces that need to be connected. Coaches, players, athletic department, fans, alumni, especially in this college football, everybody has to be moving forward in the same direction, because NIL and boosters, it's never been more important that fans and alumni are all bought in to help fund what's going on, believe in the vision that's cast by the head coach, and that the head coach can also transfer that vision and that heart to the rest of the players. And none of that is occurring right now. And a head coach and a staff that embodies what the university is and what the football program is. It just seems like at every level. That's why it's hard to say, oh, it's all Luke Fickell's fault. I don't think that's the case. Now, he's an integral part of this, right?
Yep.
There's probably no more influential head coach of any sport than college football, right? Because you're handpicking the people, you're raising money, you set the culture. So it's a huge part of it is on Luke Fickell, but there's blame to be placed elsewhere. It's the environment we live in. It's NIL. It's the players just actually thinking that we have 4 years to play college football. Let's man up and go out there and play some ball. So I think there's just a lot of issues going around. And going back to my tweet, my fear, and you were saying this, Jim, I was listening before I came on, I don't know where you go from here. If the Badgers have two or three wins, I don't think you can run it back with Coach Fickell. I think you needed five to have another year where there's like, okay, maybe we see something and this is moving in the right direction. This would be staggering steps backward if it's two or three. But who you can go out there and hire that's going to turn this thing around quickly? It's just not how it works nowadays. And I know you could say Indiana and Illinois, which I've been using as examples of saying, well, here are programs that don't have all the assets in the world and don't have as big of a brand as Wisconsin football, but Bielema and Cignetti have been able to, you know, put forth good teams. I just don't know if there's any quick fixes. And that's where I think I'm most downcast, if I'm going to be honest, where it's like, dude, all those years of growth and relevance, and they weren't championship contending teams every year, but you know, one out of every 5 years, generally speaking, Badger teams had top 10 teams.
Yeah.
So those years and the culture, it seems like long ago. It's super hard to build. It's very easy to destroy, and it's being destroyed right in front of us. Again, not only to Luke Fickell, he plays a role, but there's a lot of people that wear that blame.
Brad, it's only been five games this season, and yet it's felt like an eternity, a marathon, all those things. And from what we've heard, too, is that there's still that trying to figure out what that identity is, trying to build that culture still 3 years into this thing. And I think you bring up a fair point, too. You shouldn't just point it all at Luke Fickell. He is, unfortunately, that just seems like that's like kind of the main scapegoat that a lot of people are going towards. But there are bigger things. But just in terms of not having that identity, the lack of identity, not knowing who you are. I mean, does that disappoint you or frustrate you the most? Where are some other places, too, that you're just, you know, questioning right now? Where the heck is this team? Where the heck is this program?
Yeah, good question. Identity, for sure. That's at the top of the list. Because even if you don't beat the Oregons of the world, you don't beat the Ohio States of the world, the firm foundation that was the identity and culture of the Wisconsin football program, it tells you how to recruit. It tells you how to approach any given game. I mean, there's a lot of things, there are a lot of questions that get answered when you know what your identity is, right? And they've lost that. And I don't know if that's, again, coaching or buy-in or what, but they've lost that. I think for me, the thing that I'm most frustrated with is this team has a propensity to show up for the quote-unquote big games, still lose. But yeah, they're playing Michigan fairly close. I mean, last year, Penn State, I'm trying to think. There was another
Oregon team game.
Was it? They didn't play Oregon last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, maybe this is it. They get up for those games, but the flatness when it comes to the non-conference games. I mean, the fact that you're in a game with Middle Tennessee State at halftime, inexcusable. Mm-hmm. Inexcusable. That you get trounced by Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa. We've talked about that a bunch. Maryland, the fact that you can't get up for the mediocre or bad teams tells me something's wrong. It tells me that these guys are kind of front runner-esque, that when the moment's big, that's when I'm going to play my best. But when, you know, I'm just going to, you know, just go in a different gear. I'm going to downshift when it's other times. I think it's just going to happen. I think it's just going to come to me. That's a concern to me. Because culture is something that's supposed to permeate at all times. You've lost culture if you're not seeing it at all times.
Brad, this is also a big week, too, with rivalries and everything. We posed the question earlier, too, on our Twitter feed. What is more of the damning stat, 0-8 in top 25 matchups for Luke Fickell, or that he's 2-4 in trophy games? For a guy who's been in this locker room, too, I mean, usually you guys are on the flip-flop of this in the top 25 games, but still, regardless, just in general, when that trophy case is empty or you're missing one or you're missing a couple, how much of a gut punch is that from your perspective whenever you miss out on trophy games or, just the intensity of those games?
Yeah, well, for me, it's the trophy games. Those feel like peers. I never lost to Minnesota during my time there, where I was part of the, you know, 15-game run where we never lost to them. And Nebraska entered the Big Ten my senior year and we beat them. So never really got that rivalry established. But Iowa's been a long time rival. I believe I was either 1-2 or 2-2 against them. I think we played them my senior year. It was either 2-2 or 1-2. But I look at it, and that's more demoralizing because that's supposed to be your contemporaries. That's supposed to be your measuring stick. A team like Iowa, you could see that going, especially if they're good, good Iowa team, good Wisconsin team. That can go either way any given year. But if there's a long stretch or you're getting blown out, something's really wrong. I don't expect Wisconsin to go in there and beat Oregon and Ohio State and Penn State all in a row. It's just not who this program is right now. It's not where those programs are right now. They're operating at the top of their game historically as well. So that's a lot to ask. I mean, one upset a year maybe would be great, but it's those trophy games. It's the empty trophy cases. It's just the it's almost like you're the rival. It just stings deeper. Mm-hmm. I don't know other way to put it, but it hurts more. I think any fan can think of who your favorite team is, right? If you're a Packer fan, it's the Bears. If it's the Bears, it's the Packers. Whatever else, there is something about those games that just matters more. And think about that as a fan. It's 100 times as a player. So when you lose those games and when you're reminded, particularly in college football, of an empty trophy case that you walk by 365 days a year, it just stings deeper. It just really does. And I can live with a Wisconsin program that gets 8 wins, 9 wins. I know we were all complaining about this, 5 years ago, but gets 8 or 9 wins, loses to the top 20 teams, but beats your, rivalry games out of 2 out of 3. I can live with that. But how it is currently right now, it's hard to live with the idea of getting trounced by teams that you should be at a minimum competitive with and probably beating more often than not.
Brad, taking a chance to look more big picture here, and having called from Unsportsman, like talked about this as well, that under Barry Alvarez, and I'm sure, Brett Bielema had the famous 1-0, but the idea was like, hey, let's go win the Big Ten, let's go beat our rivals, and the rest will take care of itself. And I don't know Fickell's exact motto, but it seems like the Badgers are recruiting to beat Oregon and Penn State and recruiting to try to get to the college football playoff, when fans, but also the expectation within the program, should be like, let's just go out and handle our business one game at a time, and then the rest will take care of itself. It seems like the school got too big for his britches there and just started thinking like, we'll just jump up to being a college football playoff team year in and year out. And the other part of it is, whether it's Luke Fickell or a new coach, and Adam Rittenberg talked about this, when the new coach, if they hire a new coach, the Badgers job will be very highly sought after. He thinks it'll be viewed as a very good job. So in your opinion, whether it is Fickell or a new coach coming in, what are some things that could change immediately to right the ship, to at least get things moving in the right direction? Because the Badgers have a brand problem where fans can't figure out what this team is good at. There's no players to attach themselves to. There's no players going to the pros that you can be excited about. And that all starts, I think, at the very bottom in the minutia. So if you were coming in or advising someone or advising Fickell on changing his program, what are some key points you'd point on to say, like, this needs to change first and then the rest will slowly take care of itself?
That's a great question, Jim. So if it were me and I was on an advisory committee of sorts to help him, I would say, let's look back at the teams that, and I know college football is very much progressively moving forward, so looking back isn't always the answer. But when, one time Coach Alvarez joined KBN and we asked him, like, how did you remake this program? And he basically, I never heard this answer before, but he basically said, I looked at who I could actually get into the school. And I looked around Wisconsin, I looked around the Midwest, and I said, I can get linemen, and I can get a running back. So we're going to be a running and line team. It wasn't like Alvarez cast his vision. Now, he did add in grit and toughness and all that kind of stuff. But he didn't say, I prioritize being a O-line and running back team, and now I'm going to go see where I can find it. He said, what can I actually get? And I'm going to remake this program around that. I thought that was absolutely fascinating. So in the same way, I would say, what natural resources do you have? The natural resources you have is you have the state of Wisconsin. You might be able to get a discount on NIL players in Wisconsin. Wisconsin players want to play for Wisconsin. And I would even extend that slightly to the Midwest. So I would double down on tough, physical linemen that want to play in the NFL. You make that sell. It all starts in the, it still is all a trenches game, right? We see what life is like now, losing in the trenches.
Yep.
It is a demoralizing, depressing situation. So you got to reinvest in the trenches. That's O-line and D-line. You focus on the state of Wisconsin, which from me talking to a few of the state coaches I know in high school, it doesn't seem like that's a priority for Coach Fickell and his staff. Now, this is secondhand that I'm talking about, but
you're not speaking out of turn. You're not the only person who's heard that, so I don't think you're that far off on that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I would replant my flag in the state of Wisconsin. I would reinvest in the O&D line, and I would just start there. Like that's year one and two. And then over time, you know, I think Coach Fickell tried to change or fix what wasn't broken. Now, it wasn't operating perfectly, but this program wasn't broken. I think you needed to change some things. So O-line, D-line, Wisconsin, and then you sort of over time bring in more speed and specialized playmakers and a quarterback. And that's how you build the team from inside out and from inside the state of Wisconsin out. And I know that's sort of an old school mentality, but let's just be honest, that's what works. And if you can get any discount on anybody on NIL, it's going to be from the state of Wisconsin.
And I'm very much with you on that. I think the NIL has to be kind of used for specific positions. And you need to find the Jared Abadarises of the world and Alex Erickson's. You need to find these guys that – and look, you see it in basketball. Jack Janicki's a guy who is, I think, getting some NIL money this year, but was basically a walk-on or a low scholarship guy. And he earned his spot and he played. The Badger football teams need more guys like that. You need, because that'll establish the culture I think you're looking for, too. It's not that far removed that these kids grew up knowing what Wisconsin football is. And then continue to bring back alums, whether it's Melvin or you or James White, or, well, James White's with Illinois right now. But why does Illinois have more players, former Badgers, than Wisconsin does on their staff? And I know that Brett Bielema is there, but like that's another part of it. But I think if you build a strong base and rebuild that base of, hey, 25 to 30% of your roster is just Wisconsin kids, and they're just going to be the culture setters. And then if you have transient players coming through, fine, but if you have that stronger base of culture who knows what Wisconsin football is and what you're trying to be, who can be there for 3 or 4 years, that's going to lay the groundwork for everyone else. At least that's kind of the way I look at it.
Well, Jim, and to further that point, you said it really well, because if you're looking to avoid a transactional program, the only place you're going to find non-transactional players is just a truly unique person, if you can get them from like Florida or Texas. Right.
Yep.
But it's going to be Wisconsin kids. Like, they're not going to be seeking to transfer. They're not going to be seeking potentially more money, unless it's like tons of money. But if you want a culture that's not transactional, which I think you want, even if that's hard to achieve in this environment, you're going to find that in Wisconsin. And like you said, maybe those guys aren't your, your studs that you're going to get from Texas, Florida, and the Northeast, or Ohio.
Yep.
But they're setting the culture. They're tough. And when you've got a fourth of the team tough, bought in, scrappy, that permeates. And that allows, some of those maybe superstars to have that rub off on a little bit on them.
Hey, Brad, last one for me. Congrats, too. I know that you've been on paternity leave, so hope everybody's happy and healthy, too. We're talking about the future. Gotta ask, too, when does the training start for the future Nortmans of getting them into the special teams route? Huh? We're talking about who's going to be on the roster, who's going to be part of the future. I'm just curious, when does that training start?
Well, I'll tell you what. I can tell from the early ultrasounds that this baby boy's foot is big. Now, we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. We said it's going to be a big-footed boy or a girl. So maybe things have changed so much that a girl could play. Who knows? But it was a boy. And, I'm already trying to, like, okay, here's how you hold the ball. Right? Type of thing. Yeah. He's got a foot that's built for punting. Now we just got to callus up the top of that foot a little bit. Maybe he starts kicking some stuffed animals. You gotta toughen him up in some way. So whoever the coach is, I'm putting in a request for, let's see, 2053. Is that right? No, 2043.
43.
Yeah. 2043. Class of 2043. I got your punter right here.
Right.
Love it. Love
to see it.
Brad, congrats on expanding your family, and thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right, that's Badger legend Brad Nortman. You can listen to him, KBN. That's Kyle Bruston Nortman. You can hear that across ESPN Wisconsin starting at 2. Obviously doing some fun watch-alongs, too, with the Milwaukee Brewers as Brad's wearing his Brewers shirt there. This has been The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels.